Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
To my friend Nate and all the listeners of this podcast, no one circles the wagons than Nate Desgate. Circle the wagons, Buffalo.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go, Buffalo. Hey, hey, let's go, Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Feel good, man. You usually Mike's the one that's like picking us up. It's like, guys, it's not that bad. Everything's great. But I'm like riding. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about this team. Of course, they got the second seed, and I was thinking they weren't going to even make the playoffs at one point.
How do you guys feel about, before we get into this there, all the fourth and go for it's on that last drive? Because I was all about every single one of them, and I was all for it.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked that they were aggressive. Isn't that what we always wanted from Sean McDermott, though, to trust in his offense and put the ball in McDermott's hand, right? Or, I'm sorry, in Allen's hands?
Exactly.
To, like, win, like, the game?
Even though they didn't get that very last one, even if they miss it, the Dolphins have no timeouts, have to drive the field and actually score a touchdown just to even get it into overtime. Whereas if they get it on fourth and one, then the game's over. So, like, just...
Yeah, but there were a bunch of fourth and ones that the Bills converted, and, like, the game didn't end.
Right.
Well, I agree.
They had to get more than that one. But, early on the same drive, it was, like, third and... one on their own 36, and they went for it.
Yeah, that was great.
And I'm glad they went for it then too.
The last one they didn't get, didn't it seem like a long yard to just be like diving? It wasn't like a half yard to the end zone and just have to cross the plane.
It was probably like a yard, a yard and three quarters.
Long to try that play.
Yeah, the formation seems a little. It almost like seemed like a victory formation, didn't it? Like when they went to go for it. It's like, I don't know, are they gonna kneel on?
It almost looked like the Dolphins, the way that they played that one, was the defensive linemen all went super low to take out the offensive linemen, and then the linebackers just went over the top to stop him. It's the only thing it looked like from my end. But
and I think if they didn't call like the forward progress, he probably would have got it on the second effort, but whatever.
I felt a little like the Bills players were like, oh, our hands are up, saying, hey, we got it, we got it. Like, keep pushing.
Keep pushing, yeah. Do the
I noticed that too.
Do the bulldozer. The Bills bobsled. That was so lame. Bills bobsled. But yeah, keep... Here's, you know, Josh Allen's getting his, like, helmet ripped, like, sideways, and he's still going, and everyone's like, first down. Like, no, ain't over, buddy. Yeah.
How huge is this, though? Like... instead of having to play Miami in Miami again next week and go through this all over again, not that any game is easy, but at home against Pittsburgh and then at home against somebody else after we presumably beat Pittsburgh, and then it's either in Baltimore or if Baltimore loses, whoever they lose to at home.
I think I think the Bills would win next week regardless. I think what you alluded to, the following games.
Exactly. Yeah.
Make it...
that makes it
crucial. Yeah, so much third, more fourth bad. Order effects.
I agree completely.
So the playoff picture right now, the Bills, like you guys said, the Bills are playing the Steelers at home next week. Like Mike said, I wouldn't be too worried. The Bills had lost tonight. I wouldn't look at that and be like, well, I don't think they're going to win next week. I think the Bills still probably would win next week against the Dolphins. They just match up.
They were just on the short end of a lot of fluky things, I thought.
Yeah, a lot of things like that Dawson Knox...
Interceptions and
fumbles.
Well, there was two crucial red zone non-calls in the first half. One at the beginning, that the non-pass interference call against Knox, or with the guy guarding Knox, and then...
That was so blatant, man.
Yeah, that was terrible. That was game changing. That kind of turned the tide a little bit. And then at the end of the first,
you mean you mean the defensive pass interference, or where he basically raw dogged him from behind, just like this?
Yeah, he tackled him before he
got called. not even a holding call. Nothing.
That was an easy call. And then at the end of the first half, where Ty Johnson hit with the helmet to helmet, it should have been no time left, first and goal at the one, where they could have decided to go for it or kick a field goal.
They decide to go for it. It doesn't matter. They get no points either way. But yeah, they could have at least gotten three.
But that should have been a penalty for sure.
Absolutely. I didn't even notice that much. I didn't think of it. And then when I watched in replay, and everyone else that has a better knowledge of the game than I do was like, yeah, that should have been. And I was like, yeah, I can't argue that. If that was Tyreek Hill before the end of the half.
And they didn't even, you know, they didn't even get the field goal.
I missed the first half of that, Mike. What?
Just the next play was a pick. So it wasn't like it turned a touchdown into a field goal. It completely negated that drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bills overcame a lot tonight. There's a lot of injuries. Speaking of that, Gabe Davis on the miscue of that play, he went out. Dawkins went out at one point. Rasul Douglas went out for the game, for the rest of the game. A lot of guys went out for the entire game.
But like when Davis went on, like, I mean, love Bills players, right? Really, like, meh.
when
Douglas goes down, you're like, oh,
this could really affect us.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, Davis, he had that double block. I mean, he's been a good blocker all year. I think that was one of the reasons why they've been playing him more often than other receivers. He is a really good blocker. And
yeah, but he's a wide receiver, John. He's supposed to catch the ball. Like, as soon as he goes out, Sherfield has that amazing touchdown catch.
I get it. Well, it was
like, oh my gosh.
It was incredible.
Would Gabe Davis have had that?
Sherfield revenge game is
Gabe
against
Davis
Miami.
Would be blocking somebody.
Gabe Davis would be out of bounds already. He'd be like, there's no point in me going back.
Gabe Davis is 50% to not catch anything in a game and 50% to get 125 yards in a touchdown.
But this is all he had already proven that this game was a nothing game. Like he had that, like, right. It was just reminiscent of,
I
don't remember which game to end the game when he turned the wrong way. There was a play like that, just like that. In this game where Allen thinks he's going one way and
I get it.
Did it end up
I
as
get
a
it.
Pick?
But it looked like
yes,
it was
that
a
was
non-
the pick.
It looked like it was a non-contact injury, which means it could be very significant, and they're entering the playoffs and he's had really good playoff games against the Chiefs and the Colts and whoever, you know. So I don't want to just like write him off like, oh, it's nothing. He could be something.
Can we
in
do
any
totally
game, in any game?
My only point is like when that happened, I'm like, that's okay. Let's go. But when Douglas went down, I'm like, oh no.
Oh, I felt that one.
Yeah. Douglas, Dodson. They're
Dodson.
Dawkins. Dawkins.
Dodson. We don't have Dobson.
Well, I mean, Dodson's out in the of you're playing Spectre, although Spectre did have a tackle for a loss.
You did look pretty good.
But, like, you don't want to lose your backups to your backups either. So. Yeah,
but at Gabe Davis's point,
not good for any of those guys. You don't want to lose anybody.
Yeah, true. But is there a way that, like, because Gabe Davis is either like you said, John, 125 yards and a touchdown, or like three targets, zero receptions. Like, can we just do it? Like, if he doesn't do anything by the first half, just bench him. Like, we don't,
dude. One or two plays to start the game,
or just not play Von Miller and play somebody else. I don't know. Did he do anything?
No. No, I watched him. I watched him play, but yeah. So, here, let me
Speaking
share my
of Spectre, like Von Miller.
Spectator.
Sick burn.
Spectre on the field has done way more than our $25 million a year spectator.
Somebody mentioned the other day to me that Stephon Diggs has as many tackles as Von Miller does this year.
Yeah, I think it was Gabe Davis. I think I saw that stat. Gabe Davis running down.
Diggs and Davis have more tackles than Von Miller does this year. I think that's what it is. They both have three and he had two or something like that.
What'd you guys think of, right? Like, I thought the Cook drop was huge, right? Yeah. Right before the half. And then, but Bill still have another shot, right? And the Dolphins drop 8 into the end zone when it was like 3rd and 10. And you're like, what? Are they just like giving this to us? The Bills pick up the quick, like a 10 yard sideline play, get the first down. So you're like, okay, there's like 11 seconds left. We go, okay, we got two, three, make quick plays. And then Allen throws it short of the end zone. So like, oh, what a backbreaker play to take three off the board. But what really, like, I was surprised, like, McDermott, like, putting Allen on blast, like, at that interview, like, whoa, I don't know, think I've seen a coach, unless it's like Bobby Knight, a total asshole. Like, I can't remember seeing a coach put his quarterback on blast when it's like they have such a good relationship.
No, I can't remember the last time that McDermott has said something like that publicly where he called out a player like that, especially in the halftime interviews. Normally it's just generic. Yeah, we got to hold on to the ball. We got to do this. That. He's like, he can't be throwing it short of the end zone.
Even an idiot sitting on your couch at home would know not to do that.
He knows better than that. What we talked about this last week specifically. No.
Good on McDermott. A moment of honesty, right?
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. I wouldn't want like your boss calling you. I'd be like, screw that guy.
No, but I think.
No, I mean they have. I mean they have a good relationship. Like,
I think it's different. I think it's different this way. He wasn't like that was a dumb boneheaded play, which it kind of was. But like he was saying, you can't do that in that situation, which I'm sure he's been told. I'm sure Josh Allen's been told when there's no
but
time.
When that, in real time, didn't it, in Josh's defense, didn't it look like, oh man, he's streaking. He's got all the momentum. Like,
yeah, that's probably what he told McDermott after. He's like, I thought I had an extra 3 seconds after. And like, yeah, sure, obviously.
As he releases him, like, touchdown. Like, oh, guess not.
I thought the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's McDermott's like, also right. You have to throw it in the end zone on that play.
He's like,
in hindsight,
they're both right. They're both right in different ways. McDermott was right. Allen thought he was right, but it just didn't work out. And sometimes Allen thinks he's right and it does work out.
A lot of us have that problem.
Yeah. So McDermott tells him in the locker room, or Allen says to McDermott, well, I thought I had him. You know, McDermott's like, well, I just talked to Aaron Andrews and I just told her how you should have thrown that in the end zone. Oh, shit. Really? Yeah. So let me share my screen real quick, looking at the playoff picture right now. So the Bills have the second seed with that win over the Dolphins, 21-14. Real quick, let me do this. This is Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. I am your host, Nate, and the Buffalo Bills just beat the Miami Dolphins 21-14 to clinch the second seed in the AFC playoffs to win the division for the fourth straight time over the Miami Dolphins, and to hopefully, it won't ever shut up those shit-talking Dolphins fans, but you know, it'll start it. It's a good start. So the Bills are the second seed. The Bills are playing the Steelers, like we mentioned, next week in Orchard Park. The Chiefs are playing the Dolphins in Kansas City, the 3 versus the 6. And then it's the Texans versus the Browns, the 4s versus the 5 in Cleveland, or I'm sorry, in Houston. Sorry, Houston actually has this. The way I see this playing out, let me know what you guys think. Obviously, it's 1 week at a time, right? Then we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But if the Bills can beat the Steelers, then I'm guessing the Chiefs beat the Dolphins, especially as banged up as the Dolphins continue to be. And then the Texans and the Browns, I think the Browns are a really good team. I don't want to face the Browns in the playoffs because I think they're kind of scary. They have a great defense, a good run game, and they actually have a quarterback now that's halfway decent. If the Bills beat the Steelers, the Chiefs beat the Dolphins, and the Browns beat the Texans, which isn't a given, but I'm just thinking that's what's going to happen.
I don't know if any of those last two things are a given. Like the Chiefs are in shambles, and the
Bills play the Dolphins,
and the Texans are no slouch either. I mean, I'd probably sway towards the Browns, but that's not a gimme.
Well,
I'll go with Nate. So, what in your scenario? What happens?
So in that scenario, yeah. In the more likely scenario that I just pointed out.
So you're just picking the higher seeds in every game. Okay.
No, except for the Browns. No, you were listening to me, Jimmy.
Until Mahomes and Reed lose, like
I know Miami doesn't play well against good teams either. So, but what I'm saying is that game could really go either way.
Agreed.
I'll take the Browns over the Texans, but that Miami Chiefs game, that could really go either way.
Agreed, but I'm just going what I think will happen. So if that's the case, the Bills would then be playing the The Ravens the week after would play the lowest seed. And in that case, in that situation, it's the Browns right here because they're the fifth seed, right? And then the Bills would play the next highest seed. In that case would be the Kansas City Chiefs.
At home. That, oh, what a treat.
At home. At home. That would be a really good possibility. So you're talking about, let's say the Bills, okay, for argument's sake, let's say the Bills beat the Chiefs. If for some reason, because the Browns, I believe, beat the Ravens earlier this season.
Which would be hot.
That's a really good game, and I could
we
definitely
don't want
see
the Ravens
it.
To win.
We don't want the Ravens to win, but if the Browns somehow pull it off, which I see it possibly happening, then you're talking a 2-5 in the AFC Championship game. The Bills get the third game at home, too. That's what I'm saying. There is a path that's not too unlikely.
I like it, but especially with Joe Flacco coming back.
Joe Flacco coming back in revenge game against the Ravens. Are you kidding me?
So now I see why you're saying Chiefs or Dolphins. Because if the Dolphins win, then they have to play the Ravens, in which obviously they would lose.
Yes, exactly. The Ravens would beat the Dolphins.
That's and why then you win that
draft. We'd have to play the Browns, yeah.
Right, which would be harder. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I see why you went that way.
I went that way as like, I mean, the Texans, they're rookie quarterback.
No, I agree. I agree with Browns over Texans, but the Chiefs-Dolphins game could go either way. And if the Dolphins win, then they would play the Ravens, and the Ravens would beat the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
And then we would play the Browns. And then
even
if we won, we would still have to go to Baltimore. But at least it would be a game later than would have happened if we had lost to Miami this week, if that makes sense.
What do you think of the 1 o'clock game? I kind of got used to the prime time, and I was hoping for.
I like
the evening games when I don't have to work the next day.
Yeah, me too. Is it gonna be 1 o'clock?
Yes.
On Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday. I'm glad it's not a Saturday game, so they don't have like a less game to or less day to prepare for it. But
were you guys when they kept showing the on the during the game we just watched when they kept showing like the wild card weekend matchups? This is a
super
first time
wild
I felt
card
old in a
weekend.
While did you like pull out like I'm like I just pulled out my phone and took a picture. It felt like such an old person thing to do, like taking a picture of a picture. God, so stupid.
Are you also posting your screenshots on Facebook instead of just like they've texted me the photo? I don't know what to do with this, so I have to take a screenshot of it.
And just then print it out and hang it on my wall.
My dad still is like, how do I get my photos off my phone? I'm like, Dad, either go to Google Photos because he has an Android, or just like plug in your phone to your computer. He's like, I don't know how to plug it into my computer. I'm like, are you kidding me? It is a USB port. This is how all phones have been the last 20 years.
At this point,
I'm just not even going to bother. He's just not going to know this all the way to the grave, whether it's, you know, a week from now or 20 years from now. He's just not going to know. I'm like, he's retired. So it's like, you're on the internet all day long. How could you not Google this or YouTube it? Anyway, so, by the way,
older people do not like do an internet search for the answers to their questions. They think we know things. They're like, well, I don't know anything. Just come over here. Watch me type in your query. Then it pops up. And that's what I do. Fix your phone.
Dude, half my job I do on Google. Like, I'm just like Googling stuff like, oh shit, I don't know how to do that. I should probably know how to do this. Google. Oh yeah, that's how you do it. Okay.
I feel like there's a lot of questions thrown around at work that are easily Google-able.
They're probably from like management older than you, right? Like they're just like, how do you do this? Let me Google that for you. my dad like was, he was, honest, we should just do a separate podcast about boomers, but like, it's just, he was like, I was cleaning the keyboard off my, on the laptop and the screen went sideways and I don't know how to change it. And I was like, well, me either. Cause I've never had that issue, but
never cleaned a keyboard in my life. they focus on the dumbest
shit ever.
God. You don't need to change your oil every 3,000 miles anymore. Oh, that was in the 1950s.
That was when they used to keep literal like metal shards in oil. That's why you had to do that. They don't do that anymore. They clean it now, Dad. They refine it. No, so So yeah, I'm like, well, and I was somewhere, I was out somewhere. I'm like, well, I'm not near a computer. I was like, but hold on, let me Google it while I'm on the phone with you. I'm like, just hit Alt F10 or whatever it was. He's like, oh, that's how you do it. I'm like, you could have literally done this while I was before you even called me.
Well, in fairness to him, his screen was sideways. Like, this is the one time I could see him reaching out for help.
Yeah, but he also has a desktop computer, so there's no excuse. He's also got a smartphone, too, so there's also no excuse. He's like, how do you Google something on your phone? I'm like, you have an Android. You just pull up the prompt.
If it's Android, like, there's like five Google icons on your home page.
Oh my goodness, dude! How did that? How did this generation? How did they survive anything? How did they go from televisions to or radios to televisions? Like, how did that happen? Must have gotten so many phone calls from like anyway. Anyway, so yeah, this episode, I forgot to mention, this episode is brought to you by the TwinSpires Sportsbook at DeLago at the DeLago Resort and Casino in Waterloo, New York. Yeah, so we're talking about this victory. We're talking about anything and everything Bills. We're obviously on a huge high as Bills fans for that win. Were you guys nervous at all during this game? Because I was, especially at one point I mentioned on Twitter, I was like in the bathroom for what I was just kind of like, oh, what the hell is going on? What's going on? And then I was like, you know what? I need to take a break. I went to the bathroom, got up, went to the TV, and like the Bills like forced a 3-and-out. And I'm like, what? In the second half. Like, I guess I got to go back in. I got to go in the bathroom. So I did it all, man. I went into the bathroom. I took my pants down, didn't have to go, and just sat there watching it on NFL Plus, hoping that that's what would keep the Bills, you know, in the driver's seat and winning. Just because I got to do my part, right? You got to do my 1/11th. Whatever I can. And then I watched Christian Wilkins sack Josh Allen, strip the ball, and also recover the fumble in one swift move. And I'm like, well, screw this. My legs are getting numb. I'm going back out to the couch. But
that was an amazing play by him.
Yeah, that was just a good defensive play.
It was. He's so good. But he's dirty, but he's good. So yeah, were you guys nervous at all during that game? Like I was, because I'm just like, I had not my stomach.
I think the point that made me nervous was Rasul Douglas. Like, he has been such a crucial part of the team since, well, like, the last eight games, maybe?
Yeah, I know.
Just making plays just seems heart and soul of the defense. Like, you never see a player just come in and make an impact like that. Play AFC Defense Player of the Week last week. So when he went down, I was like, oh, man, that's the point. I got worried.
Yeah, because this week, I mean, for all intents and purposes, because of the Jacksonville loss to the Titans, we're in, right? So you're like, it's okay if we don't win this week. We just have to win next week, right? Like, that's...
But I would say, like John was saying, I really wanted to get this one for the following weeks. Like, I felt the Bills have just dominated it all. Is it like Allen is 10-2 against it? Like, you feel like with a couple games, a big enough sample size, he's going to figure out a way. But just... The home game seems so huge. So I thought going into this game, it could not have been any better in the sense, like, we're not worried about our playoff existence, right? Like, we're not having a heart attack on every play, but it's still meaningful. It's fun that it kind of means something.
I was hoping it'd be less pressure on the team because they're in, but it was still but they still had a win, obviously, to have that easier path. The Douglas injury obviously wasn't good, among other injuries, but that didn't worry me as much just because the defensive scheme has been so good this year, despite all the injuries. It was the offense that worried me more, and for good reason in this game. They turned it over a bunch of times still on offense. It ended up working out. The punt return was amazing. The tip pass, Sherfield touchdown thing was amazing. So it worked out, but yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking, I think, for the offense still, and it was last week still, even though I wasn't necessarily worried last week that they would win. But
it seems to be something new each week, doesn't it? Sometimes it's turnovers. Like this week, it was the red zone turnovers. You know, like Josh Allen, just to give you guys an idea, Josh Allen had 359 yards passing today. He was 30 for 38. Like, that is a really good completion percentage. That is...
That's surprising to me.
Almost 79% completion percentage.
Didn't feel that high.
It didn't, right? two touchdowns, two interceptions. The red zone offense is what hurt the Bills today.
But
all of their
But in the first half, there's two crucial red zone non-calls at the beginning of the game against Knox, the non-pass interference call, which completely changed things. And then at the end of the first half against Ty Johnson, clear head-to-head hit at the last play of the first half, which should have been an automatic first down with 0 seconds left, and that didn't happen either. So it's both, right? Offense and sometimes still the referees.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The Bills are essentially, you know, playing, especially in this game, playing against two opponents each week. Well, three opponents. I'm sorry.
Let me finish.
Three opponents. We usually said two, the Bill or the other team, the refs, and now we're playing a third one each week, the Buffalo Bills. We're playing against ourselves every week, trying not to beat ourselves. But anyway.
But how does every single fan base say, oh, we're playing the refs every week? Every single one. Like, I agree with you, John, but if you look at the Dolphins, like, they can make
Dolphins
the case
tonight.
Calls too.
It's not every week. I think there were two egregious calls in the red zone this game, and then I think the Eagles game, the Bills got screwed. But I wouldn't go past those two halves/games.
But I think every fan base has.
But I'm not saying like every week. That's like that was what your last point was. I'm just saying like two games, maybe a game and a half.
That's the Detroit Lions the other
day. I mean, there's been calls in the Super Bowl that have cost them the game, right? There's been calls in...
Of course.
Like that.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Yeah, right. I get what you're saying. I just...
Speaking of that, the Super Bowl, I guarantee if we get into the Super Bowl, it'll be a close game. And there's going to be one play like this, like the Knox call where we're just like... I don't guarantee it. I don't want to be negative or pessimistic on this podcast because we're in a good place, but it just feels like that if it's close at all, so... The things the Bills got to do is overcome all of those things and, you know, themselves. And you know, this is when Josh Allen. So let's do real quick. Let's do Sweet Sassy Molassy play of the game. And I mean, I think it's got to be the Taylor Rapp interception, right? I mean, there were some good plays, John. John, to your point, you said like you had the Trent Sherfield touchdown, which was the batted up pass. And then it ended up getting like 2 feet inbounds, toe tapping, you know, Sherfield touchdown on a play where, you know, Gabe Davis wasn't in. They needed it. It was a huge. It was their first touchdown of the game. That was an amazing pass. Amazing play by Sherfield. The Deontay Hardy 96-yard punt return touchdown. That was incredible. And then the Rapp interception. But, I mean, the Rapp, it was a game-sealing interception. I got to give it to the Taylor Rapp's play. I think we're probably consensus on that, right?
For me, it's the punt return touchdown. Just completely changed the momentum of the game, I thought. I don't know if it was the injuries or the turnovers, but it seemed like the sideline was dead. Players were deflated. And then after that, it seemed like everybody came alive. I don't disagree with you, like the Rapp, but almost like the play before where Rapp broke up the play and knocked Tyreek out of the game. I'm like, oh my gosh, you never want to see anybody get injured, but I feel so much better.
We never want to see anyone injured ever. But if it's going to be...
But didn't you... Like a weight is lifted? Because earlier in that series, like a Bill had held him, like a DB. And if he didn't, it looked like if that pass is completed, that's a touchdown just based on Tyreek's speed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that one, but I don't know if it was Dane Jackson that got an arm around his waist or what it was. But
yeah, I think you're right. I think it was Dane.
Yeah, it's just like... And it was a wrap that broke up the pass right before he had the pick. So
yeah, hey,
John, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Mike. I'd go with the punt return. Very close second would be the Sherfield touchdown, because if they didn't get that there, that wouldn't be good. So yeah, I go with the punt return first.
Yeah, you know, speaking of all these huge plays that we're mentioning right now were brought about by Bills free agent signings by Brandon Bean. I mean, you have to give him credit for that. He brought in Sherfield, brought in Hardy, brought in Rapp. He's taken some criticism for some of these plays. Like, where's Sherfield been? Like tonight they showed up when we needed them the most. So sure, would you have rather it not taken 18 weeks for it to happen?
No, Brandon Bean is awesome, man. Like, look at the whole thing during the offseason, and like the linebackers that they brought in, Milano, then all of a sudden Milano gets hurt, and like, oh, look, Terrell Bernard looking good this year. Like all these things. I think he's been fine.
He's been incredible, I would say.
Yeah.
He should be executive of the year if they do such a thing.
Well, everything even great before that. But like people are like, yeah, well, you know, Rasul Douglas was a good pick. But what about Trent Sherfield? Like that. I mean, I was seeing that on social media. And I didn't really have a response to that. I'm like, well, you know, you can't hit them all. But tonight he did.
Yeah, tonight he helped win them the game, literally. Because that touchdown catch, they might not have. They kick a field goal there, and then what happens?
You know what was good to see, too? I would say maybe a little off track, but just the Diggs longer catch. Like, that was, like, one of the harder ones. Like, because earlier in the game, Allen had missed him. Like, Diggs said it wasn't quite a stopping goal, but just had a great move and was wide, like, by five steps, was wide open, and Allen really missed him.
Would have been a touchdown.
Then, yeah, it would have been a long, long touchdown. But then for them to come back and Diggs to make the, like, I had to see it two or three times. Like, how did he get that?
For sure.
That was really cool.
And the second time, I think Allen was a lot more under pressure than he was the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was an all-out blitz. I mean, they were bringing the pressure against Josh Allen. He responded. He just kind of...
Yeah. I knew he could respond to that pressure. Like, I saw that early on in the game, though. Like, they're bringing the pressure. They kind of rattled down a little bit. And I was thinking to myself, I think Allen can overcome this. He just got to do it, right? And he did.
Maybe he can.
Look, Allen's still really, like, I mean, look at the, I mean, he's top three quarterback still, right?
I don't know if I've seen you fawn before.
I mean, I got a big thing of him in my room.
Do you have the poster, the fat head on the wall?
The life-sized, you know.
Oh, the
poster,
the stand-up.
Or the stand-up, yeah.
The stand-up thing, nice.
Yeah.
Wait, is that cardboard or like on the wall?
No, cardboard. You know, it's self-standing.
No, right. It's silicone. It goes in his bed. It's like a...
I only put it in the bed one time.
His mouth is always
it's for a selfie.
Is it his size?
No, it's definitely not 6'5". It's probably like 6'5".
I thought you were going to say it's like 4 foot. Like, no, it's...
It's probably, it's point, probably 6 inches less. I know, that's what I'm thinking. But.
Well, he wanted it to be the same size as him, so he could still cuddle. He didn't want it to be bigger than him. That's just weird.
Like, wait, what are we talking about?
Yeah. Unless you like being Big Spoon, well, then you want 1 6'5". And who doesn't like to be Big Spoon, right? I don't see anything about Rasul Douglas from Banged Up Bills over there. So
I was going to ask if you had any insight into any of these injuries.
No, nothing for that one. He says he thinks that it could be a left PCL sprain for Gabe Davis, a sprain. So the other thing I was going to say, we were talking about injuries to Rasul Douglas, Gabe Davis. These guys, at least for now, it doesn't seem like season-ending injuries. Not that we would know. I feel like they would have gone off in an air cast like we saw one of the Miami Dolphins players doing earlier. But the good thing is, like, let's say scenario next week, we're playing against the Steelers. Maybe we don't need Rasul Douglas to, you know, against Mason Rudolph or whoever, right? Like, I think that's a safe bet if there was a time to not have him.
Dude, I don't know. Like, but just look at today. The teams that win and you're in versus teams that have nothing to play for. Like, granted, of course, the players out there want to have quality tape or whatever, right? And coaches are maybe coach for the, but players that have everything to play for win and you're in the playoffs so often. Like, that's why the Bills didn't need this one to get in. Like, Jacksonville laid a big, like, I just think, love the Bills' chances, but I don't think you can save anything for the next week in terms of, like, players play. I know you're not saying schemes play stuff like that, but I think you gotta.
I agree.
Until the game's in hand,
if you're healthy enough, you gotta play, and if you're not, then you can't. So you can't speculate on that part of it. I think they have to do.
Well, I wasn't saying that. I hope he's not playing. I'm just saying if there was a game for them to not be playing,
but like
defensive Nate,
they have to do,
rears his head.
They have to do.
You guys are like, well, you don't want Rasul Douglas to play. Like, no, I definitely want him to play.
No, you're saying if there's a game that he, you know, rests him up for the next one,
it's absolutely that game out of all the other teams.
You can't
take anything for granted.
Foregone conclusion.
You would rather play against like the Chiefs without Rasul Douglas as opposed to the Steelers?
No.
Like what?
But
no. Well, then no. It's the best of all scenarios. Of a bad scenario, it is the best.
Well, the best would be a bye week. I thought you were saying like, oh, he could potentially.
If he's on the fence.
No, play him. If he can play, play him. But if he can't play and he has to miss a game, this is the best opponent that we could hope for him to miss.
Oh, out of all the remaining
players.
Yeah, of course.
But we both interpreted it the same way, so it's not inconceivable that you framed it poorly.
I think the initial, yeah.
Possible.
Huh. Oh, thank you.
Or maybe you guys just wanted to jump down my throat equally.
That's what she said.
Well, this is recorded. we always like get into a fight. Like,
That's it. I'm going to check the instant replay on this. Let me do a real quick, unless you guys want to get into something else before this, I'm going to do stats of the game.
I mean, to your point, I would just say, like, I agree 100%. Like, this is, like, the dream matchup in Buffalo against the Steelers
backup
without Watt.
Mason Rudolph and no TJ Watt.
Is Watt out? I didn't know that.
There's no way he's playing next week, right? Didn't he have an MCL injury or something?
It's out for the year.
Yeah, he's done, right?
It's like it's a dream scenario, no question.
Okay.
But John, like I think in John and my mind, a little bit too, like it was 20 years ago when the Steelers are playing their third stringers because they're already in, and the Bills just winning, you're in.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they lost by 7. They got buried by like 20 points, didn't they?
Well,
it wasn't even close.
That's the thought that occurred to me when they were playing the Steelers were playing the Ravens on Saturday. It's like, oh, the Steelers are playing the Ravens third stringers. Oh, the Ravens third stringers might win because the Bills got beat by the Steelers third stringers 15 years ago when the Bills were 9-7 and trying to make the playoffs.
You're like, no, John, no. Those things only happen to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
That only happens to us. Like I mentioned earlier, Josh Allen, let's do stats of the game. Stats of the game brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago. Josh Allen, 30 for 38, 359 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Also, the leading rusher for today, Josh Allen, 15 carries for 67 yards. So over 400 yards of total offense. I know it doesn't really matter. Lamar Jackson sat out this week. Josh isn't winning. I mean, if it wasn't for the interceptions in the red zone or whatever, I think Josh might have had a fighting chance for an MVP. I don't really care about that in the grand scheme of things. I want to get to the Super Bowl, but I don't think he makes his case any better. I thought he had a great game overall, minus the actually 3 turnovers, if you include the fumble, Christian Wilkins fumble. But
you should definitely include that.
I'm going to say
I don't think there's any way. I agree with you that just the stats aren't there, but I'd be hard pressed to find a player that means more to his team than Josh Allen. I think if you really went, like, he doesn't play the cleanest game and his stats aren't there this year, but
yeah, like,
without Allen, the Bills would be.
If you're looking for a player of the game for today's game, it's like, you almost don't want to say Allen because of the turnovers, but at the same time, almost 80% completion percentage, 360 yards and 2 touchdowns, and like the things that he did on the ground, it's hard not to give it to Allen unless you're picking a defensive player. We're Khalil Shakir. Khalil Shakir, I love fucking Khalil Shakir. He's amazing. I love him.
You love fucking Khalil Shakir, huh?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
All right. So James Cook, Captain Cook, 13 carries for 36 yards. Not the greatest game by James Cook, including that missed touchdown catch. Honestly, like since we're doing stats of the game, I might put Cook on the wall of shame only because of that dropped pass.
You know what gets him off the wall? That move, that statue move. That was sick.
That was sick. That was good.
That was really good.
Have you ever seen that before?
Oh, never. not unless my PlayStation like freezes, glitches. Like, dude, he stopped on a dime. Yeah,
he stopped on a dime.
It's like when you lagged into something really good. It's like, oh, it worked out that time.
Or like your controller disconnects for a second. You thought you were going to juke the guy. It gets reconnected real quick. And then he's like, oh, he scrolled for a touchdown. Yeah, that was cool. It was like he stopped playing for a second. Like the whistle was blown. That was really cool. Okay, all right. Maybe you don't give him the wall of shame just based on that. Leonard Fournette, 7 carries for 20 yards. Khalil Shakir, to John's point, leading receiver for the Buffalo Bills, 6 receptions on 6 targets for 105 yards. Stephon Diggs. It's another reason why we shouldn't worry about Gabe Davis leaving is that we do have Khalil Shakir for 2 more seasons after this season. And he's showing out, especially this season, he's shown out really well towards the end when getting snaps. Stephon Diggs, 7 receptions on 8 targets for 87 yards today. Dalton Kincaid, 7 receptions on 8 targets for 84 yards. And then Trent Sherfield with a touchdown. Dawson Knox with a touchdown. Yeah, Bills spreading the ball around. Bills having 473 yards of total offense to the Dolphins, 275 yards. So a huge discrepancy there. If you were to just look at those things alone, you'd be like, the Bills should have won by 2 scores, right? Easily. Tua Tagovailoa, 17 for 27, 173 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Devon Achain, 10 carries for 56 yards, 1 touchdown. He's a beast. We knew that playing him last time. Jeff Wilson, 9 carries for 45 yards. So they were running the ball well, not able to pass the ball that well. Tyreek Hill, leading receiver, 7 receptions on 13 targets for 82 yards and 1 touchdown. And that's probably the only receiver worth noting for that. Waddle was out today. So was Raheem Mostert out today. Obviously helped the Bills, but Bills are having a lot of their own injuries as well today.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Garrett Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
What do you guys think Allen and Diggs were saying to each other when they were covering their mouths?
Fuck them, fish.
What do you think they were saying?
I don't know. Like, I felt like the camera and the audio is right there. So even if you, like, it's not like it's 50 yards away and somebody's trying to read your mouth. It's like, we can hear everything you're saying. I thought it was like,
Allen's probably going to Diggs. He's like, can you believe fucking McDermott threw me under the bus before halftime? I don't know. I don't know what he said. Was that?
It was like, let's pretend like we're saying something important.
When was that during the game? I don't remember specifically.
It was after the game.
It's after the game? I don't
actually. When Allen was like walking around, he went to the end zone to like thank the Bills fans.
Oh, okay.
I remember seeing that, and I thought it was an F something, but obviously he's covering it.
So, Wall of Fame, I think I'm going to go with Allen on this one. If it wasn't for the turnovers, it would be obviously very, it'd be 100% Allen.
Who else would you give it? Without Allen, the Bills are nothing.
Well, yeah, I mean, no one else stood out besides maybe Khalil Shakir, but then again, all because Allen played really well. He would have had more yardage and more touchdowns if it wasn't for Cook's drop. So,
oh, I thought you had said Wall of Shame, and I'm like, what are you talking?
Did I say Wall of Shame? I meant Wall. I'm sorry.
No, I could totally be wrong. I was.
He said fame.
Zoning out. Okay,
you're paying attention. Yeah.
Whatever, John. I thought we had the Lions this episode.
Oh, is that what you guys did before we recorded? We're like, we're just going to, even if I make a mistake, we're just going to band together against Nate.
Not give, call we, y'all out.
No, I agree with you 100%. Like, 3 turnovers, you think, oh my gosh, like Allen has a terrible game. But you mentioned his stats. He had some terrible drops. touchdown taken off the board, like to John's point, the pass interference that wasn't called, like, and he just puts the team on his back. Like I can't pick anybody else I would rather have.
I think if you give,
and that's amazing, being able to say that as a Bills fan.
Amazing, amazing. It's like that. It's like that Michael Jordan meme, man. I dream for days like this, right? Like, this is like you were talking about Lamar Jackson on the Ravens, right? I mean, you put Tyler Huntley on that team. That team's probably still a 10-win team, right? Like Tyler. I mean, not Tyler Huntley's pretty good, but that team is good defensively. It's got a good run game. Like, I mean, that's a good team. It's a good team altogether. You take Josh Allen off this team wins what, 6-7 games maybe? Like this, I mean, that he wills them, I mean, to be good or okay to really good. And then
remember, like, at the end of the game was 3rd and 8 and the Bills come out of the timeout and they still have a delay of game and you're like, oh my gosh. So then it's 3rd and 13 and he makes the incredible run to get the first down, keep the clock going. And you were thinking, you were hoping, like, okay, this drive is just going to seal it, but then they failed and turned the but whatever. That point, you're like, oh my gosh, this is great.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. That play could have made, actually, Sweet Sassy Malassi play the game. Mm-hmm. Mike, I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot about that play. Yeah, that 3rd and 13, it was like a Superman dive at the end, whereas like most quarterbacks couldn't make that play to begin with or wouldn't have willed themselves to make that play. And it just was like, I mean, he's like, I'm going to do it no matter what. You're right. Right, I mean, that was, and then of course, as Bills fans, we're like, "Oh, they're just going to run the clock out." Wrong, wrong. It's like that meme I posted. Like we were talking about that a few weeks ago, Mike. It's like the Bills take the lead with like so many seconds. And it's just like the dog in Vietnam, the Chihuahua with the helicopters in Vietnam. It's not over. It's not over.
Another one that made me like, we never get those punt return touchdowns. It was so awesome to get that. But then on the next one, Hardy did that like double catch. We're like, ah! Oh man, that one almost gave me a heart attack.
I thought that was just me that noticed that one. I was like, you caught it and it's just like, it moved around a little bit. Like, what are you doing?
Well, it's like the Chargers game. He fumbled it against the Chargers, and then Cook fumbled it, and then Allen had a turn. Like, the Chargers game was terrible, and like, somehow managed to win it.
Well, how do you feel about this team going into it? Because I wasn't really happy with the last couple of games before this, but, I mean, they found ways to win. Like, maybe this is just the winning formula. Like, they just find ways to win, whether it's special teams helping out, like tonight. Mike, you mentioned that huge punt return touchdown being your Sweet Sassy Malassi play of the game. Like that could have been the Gettysburg of the game also with the turning point. I think you kind of basically said it was. So like special teams showing up, the defense showing up minus Rasul Douglas against a really good passing attack, minus obviously Jalen Waddle and Raheem Mostert, but like stopping Hill, causing an interception, holding Tua Tagovailoa to 173 yards passing. Like that's no small feat. The defense stepped up. The offense looked good. If it wasn't for the turnovers, this might have been a domination of a game by the Buffalo Bills, but they kept them in it.
Yeah.
I think that the theme of this last six games or so has been survive in advance, like just, you know, finding a way to win.
Yeah, imagine if they don't have any turnovers. There's no way they can lose.
I can't imagine what that'd be like, John. It's been so long. It's like that old lady in the Titanic. It's been 84 years. Like, I can't remember what it's like to have a... They probably win by 30 points against the Ravens, even.
No, seriously, if they don't have any turnovers, they could beat anybody.
They make a good point for it. That's for sure. I agree.
You guys are talking about player of the game. I agree, Josh Allen. Over 90% of the team's offense. If I had to do a secondary or honorary mention, McDermott in the defense, for sure. But, I mean... You don't have Allen, then you have nothing. So
yeah, good point, John. And then the injuries, you know, even dealing with the injuries and still playing well against this Dolphins offense, high-powered offense. I mean, you got to love that. The Bills having over 200 yards more of offense than the Dolphins. The score, like I said, the score doesn't show it, but Bills played well. So and John, you said giving it to McDermott. Like you mentioned earlier, him being aggressive and keeping it in Josh Allen's and the offense's hands on that fourth and one on their own 35. And you're like our fourth down commentator in the text thread. You're always like, go for it, go for it, go for it. And how
not
often
always,
do they really
but most of the time.
Well, 98% of the time. But yeah, how happy were you when that happened?
Yeah, for sure. And even when it was like 2 minutes and they went for it, fourth and short with that weird victory formation, even though they didn't get it, that was the right call. Because if they got it, the game was over. They didn't get it, which they didn't, then the Dolphins have to score just to get it in overtime. And that's not counting for the Bills potentially getting a field goal after that. Like, so there's a lot of things that could happen after that, but they could just put it away. So I was happy with both of those calls. I was a little worried when they had to call a timeout where they tried to draw them off when it was fourth and one. And obviously they didn't get it anyway, but I'm glad they made the right choice.
Same here. So it was at the 37 yard line. Were you thinking field goal at all? Because I got to be honest, I kind of was. Just because it's a 54-yard field goal, but like you get a field goal, the game's over too, right? Like, I mean, there's no way they're getting two scores before the end of the game, right? With like a minute 30 left, a minute 40 left. I was thinking it, but the way that Tyler Bass, the reason, so you're shaking your head no, John, and that's because of Tyler Bass, though, specifically, right? It's got nothing to do with the fact that it's the wrong play call. It's just you got to know your kicker at this point, right?
I guess a little bit of both. Part of me didn't even think about it until after the fact, about the field goal part. I was just like, first down, they win. Miami has no timeout, which is another reason to go for it, because if Miami does get it, they have to drive with no timeout and get the touchdown to force overtime. But even if they score too quickly, then the Bills can still get a field goal. Like, there's all that in play, whereas the Bills just forget the field goal, just get the first down. 54 yards could go either way, right?
Right. I know, I was just thinking of it. Wasn't against it, wasn't for it. I was just, I think if this was past seasons where Bass hadn't struggled so much, I think McDermott might have gone for it. But
he's had a couple of misses, so I can understand not doing that.
It's a good call on McDermott then for not doing it. Obviously it worked out, so we're happy. But dude,
I guess one thing that, like, when they win, I'm like, oh, that's great. It was an exciting game, suspenseful. But I don't know if it's completely sustainable. Like, I would like to see them string a little bit. Like, when you're talking about it, they don't have to win by 21 every week. But why do we have to cut these things so damn close every time?
I know. Yeah, you're right. Like, let's put together a full football game, right? Like against the Cowboys. That was a full football game for the most part. Let's do that again.
Yeah.
Also in the playoffs, that'd be nice. But yeah. Especially against the Chargers and the Cowboys. Like, those teams are in rough shape. Like, that was the time to really show a little bit more dominance.
Well, next week is our chance at home against the beaten up Steelers team, right?
For sure.
Yeah, get on the right track. That's a team where you get your confidence, or that's a game where you get your confidence back. Maybe hopefully get Rasul Douglas back. Yeah, for sure. So who would you put on your—
Wait, I got a quote that fits the situation. It's, guts will get you so far, and then they'll get you killed. Luck runs out sooner or later.
Jeff Daniels, speed.
Yes!
I won't always be there to save your ass.
Nice.
One of the best
scenes. I thought that was a pretty deep cut.
That was a good one. One of the best scenes in that movie. Underrated. The guy's like, we did it, right? Keanu Reeves, a young Keanu Reeves, like, we did it, right? He did it. Who cares? He's like, could have gotten us killed. Could have gotten killed.
He's like, remember what the next line is?
No, I got to go home and have some sex, right?
Dude, do you have this screenplay pulled up in front of you?
He's like, I got it. Because he's wasted, right? He's like, all right, now I got to go home and have some sex. And then Keanu Reeves is like, you're going to go home and pass out, right? Or throw up. Did he say? I can't remember. He's like, you're going to go home and pass out.
You remember?
I don't remember.
Pass out. He's like, you're going to go home and pass out. He's like, well, either way, it'll be a good time.
go home and puke.
I'll go home and puke.
And he says, yeah, well, that'll be fun too.
That'll be fun.
Dang, an iron trap memory. Nice pull.
I guess they fell behind. You remember that scene?
Yeah. Gum. I got gum on my teeth.
Pop quiz hot shot. you have a team that can beat almost any team in the NFL, but still can't get over, still can't get past its own 2 feet. Turnovers left and right. Will you make it to the Super Bowl? Wall of Shame. Who would you give the Wall of Shame to? This isn't an easy one for me. I guess you could say injuries, but I mean, if you wanted to give it to one person or something in general, I mean, I've given it to special teams in the past. The special teams did not let us down this game.
The referees in the first half.
Referees.
In the red zone.
First half. Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
I can't come up with anybody on the Bills.
No, me either. Von Miller for being our best spectator. Oh, we should do, when we do final year awards for the Buffalo Bills, we should do best spectator.
Wouldn't it have been better if, was Kingsley Jonathan active or no?
No, he was inactive.
So I'd rather have him in there. He didn't do anything, I mean, are they just hoping at this point that, I mean,
I don't.
Tre'Davious White did take a while after he was back to be back. And maybe they're thinking, like, okay, Miller is going to be the same way, but I don't know. It seems like it's been a while.
See, this is why you don't talk shit about your return when you don't really 100% know. Don't say, I'm going to be back week one, and then in week 18, you're limping onto the field in pregame warmups, and that's why you don't say anything. If you're like, I don't know when I'm going to come back, hopefully soon, because I've been through this injury before, but nothing's guaranteed. And guess what? I'm like 7 years older than the last time I got this injury. Then people would be like, oh, okay, I understand why he's not 100% at week 18. But when you're like, I'm coming back week one and I plan on playing, it's week 18 and you don't look any better.
But that, ironically, now I can see why you said it, because one of your quotes was like 2 seconds long. It was a perfect soundbite. And the other one, like, I found myself, my mind was wandering. I'm like, when is he going to be done talking? Right? Like, oh, I'm going to be back. I'm like, oh, cool.
So they just go Bills. Tuned off, yeah.
Like, oh, I'm not really sure. Jeez, I question your commitment.
Yeah, so but I tweeted. I texted you guys, and it was tweeted by, I don't know if it was Dan Fates or Thad Brown or someone was tweeting, and they were showing the picture of Von Miller like almost limping out for pregame warmups, definitely favoring one leg more than the other, it felt like. And then John, you texted us in the group chat, it's just like you showed him like pulling people, or was it someone, or he was pulling something like in pregame warmups to like strengthen his legs or something, or just like a workout on the field. And it's just like, I don't know what to think. Obviously not making an impact either way. So yeah, Kingsley Jonathan, 100%. Absolutely. I kind of wish, John, did you say this in the group text? I kind of wish his name was Jonathan Kingsley, so it'd be easier to remember than Kingsley Jonathan. I always get that confused. I call him Jonathan Kingsley sometimes.
I think we all feel that way.
It has nothing to do with your name being Jonathan at all. It's just they say the, you know, last name first, and then I'm like, oh, they're saying it the right way. No. So Wall of Shame, I don't have a better one.
What about this? I would like I like that pistol misdirection that the Dolphins have, like with the speed of Cook. Like, why don't we start adopting some ways to get him the ball in space?
You don't like the shotgun handoffs all the time, or you prefer?
I
don't like shotgun.
I feel like you could do
anymore.
Something with that.
I agree. It's a great play. It's not like the Bills don't have the offensive linemen to be able to pull that off. I mean, could you see Deion Dawkins pulling from one side as they, and it was so funny because Collinsworth is like, this is the play they ran last week in Baltimore. And then the only difference was it's just faking to one side. And he's like, this is a genius move. Like, this is the most, because it was smart, but it's literally just preparing for one thing because you saw it and then just doing something slightly different. It's like, well, I hope the Bills are doing something like that too each week, right? This is what we showed all last week. We're going to do a small wrinkle in it, right? Like, I didn't think it was mind-blowing. But at the same time, like you said, why don't the Bills do any tosses like that, fake tosses? How come the Bills never, like, do a jet sweep or anything? Like, I don't know. Some of the very simple I'm thinking Joe Brady gets the OC job next season. I'd be curious to see what he does with his own playbook for once, and instead of just taking what, you know, Ken Dorsey had in his and just making some wrinkles or making some adjustments to it, because you know he can't start over from scratch. So like next season, adding all these things that he wasn't able to do this past season. So hopefully that's one of them for sure.
I agree. I think he's going to be their offensive coordinator next year based on what he has done. And hopefully he's going to make some more significant improvements than what he's done so far.
Yeah.
It should be like a video game. Like, you've beaten an opponent, now you get their ability. Like, not like we've seen, how many times do we see that pistol formation misdirect? Like, we shouldn't be able to do that now.
I'd like to see more double reverse flea flickers.
Anything.
Any sort of trick play would be nice. I'd like to see a trick play. That's one of the main things I miss about Brian Daboll. I felt like he pushed one in every single game.
The Dolphins were going to try it, right? And it looked like the back, I don't, was it Achan, like, was looking to throw.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wisely kind of pulled it down, but then because it was a didn't they change it to a sack or something?
Yeah, they tackled him, yeah.
Good coverage.
I was nervous when he pulled his arm back. I'm like, oh, crap.
Oh, crap. This is where we get a touchdown scored against us. I've seen this happen way too many times. The safety or whoever's covering the wide receiver totally bites in the backfield and starts running upfield, leaving the guy completely open. Yeah, absolutely. All right, who wants some hot takes? Do you guys have any hot takes before we... By the way, those were Wall of Fame, Wall of Shame, Sweet Sassy Molassy Plays of the Game, brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago. Do you guys want to do some hot takes now from Bills Mafia?
What do you think... here, I got a hot take for you two. No, it's not a hot take. It's a question. What do you think the line's going to be for Steelers, Bills? Just pulled it up.
Bills by 8. Or 8.5. I'll say 8.5.
Damn.
It's a good one, John, right? You don't want to follow that one.
9.5.
Yes!
Well done, John. Well done, Jonathan Kingsley. I like it. I like that. I like that line. I'll take that.
Biggest spread.
Of all the wildcard games?
The next closest looks to be Dallas favored by 7.5 against Green Bay.
So really, this is the best scenario we could have asked for. You know.
Yes.
I mean...
I'd rather play Pittsburgh than Houston for sure. Indy might have been comparable.
I think this year with the seventh seed, like in past seasons, the seventh seed has been like really good, and you're like, oh man, like this team could beat the Bills if they play well. This year, I don't feel as confident in the Steelers. Like they could, they're a tough team. They're not an easy win, but I think the Bills can definitely win them or beat them.
For sure, they're well coached, but they have too many other issues, and then the Watt injury like compounds all that.
Do you guys have any insight? Like, I'm surprised that the Eagles are only favored by 2.5 against the Bucks. Like, the Eagles have really fallen off, like lost a bunch. Like, what were they, like a paper tiger, or did something happen? Like, what's,
well,
anybody know what's going on with the Eagles?
AJ Brown also had a knee injury today, and then like it looked like Jalen Hurts, like his middle finger got...
Did he break his finger?
On his throwing hand got really messed up. It looked pretty graphic. I don't know how significant those injuries are, but those are two significant players for sure. And they haven't been playing well the last month on top of it.
Yeah, and the Eagles just lost to the Giants today, 27-10. Yep. Jalen Hurts' dangling contorted finger hurts A.J. Brown and a host of other injured, ineffective Eagles. Bottomed out on Sunday. Yep, 27-10 loss. Not only that, Devonta Smith, Darius Slay, and DeAndre Swift were unable to play today. And also Fletcher Cox. Team's just injured. Dude, that is so much part of, like, a run, is not only, you know, playing well, but, like, not getting the injury bug, which we're kind of hoping that isn't the case with the Buffalo Bills, with the injuries that they're suffering.
Playing well at the right time at the end of the season and being healthy. Those are two big things.
Also, like, not for nothing, after watching the 13 seconds, like, a little bit of luck. A little bit of luck helps, too. So ball bounces a certain way into your hands instead of the opposing team's hands.
What's the Kansas City-Miami line?
What do you think it is?
Dolphins by 4. Actually, Mike, you go, or John, you go first.
In Kansas City?
I'm sorry. I meant Chiefs by 4.
Oh, I still think it's closer than that. I'll do 3.5 Kansas City.
3.5.
Oh! Man, 2 for 2.
Right on.
All right. Jeez.
Nice.
All right, good for you, John. Anyway, so hot takes.
You just couldn't constrain yourself. It was, you did not have to go first.
I know.
Make the decision. You're just too eager.
I can't help myself. But if he was like 3.5, I would have been like 4. So I would have gotten it wrong. So
I probably would have said, right. I probably would have said 3, and you would have said 3.5, and you would have got it right.
Would have got it right on the nose. Yep.
That's like the Bills this season. just beating myself every time, every guess, just beating myself. So every week after the game, I ask Bills Mafia for their hot takes on Twitter. If you're not following us, please do at CTW Pod, like Circling the Wagons Pod, for a chance to read them on the air. Corey Reeve writes, I think that this team thrives on chaos. They just can't play it straight, LOL. Dude, this team might thrive on chaos. I don't. My heart rate doesn't. My heart pressure doesn't. My blood pressure doesn't. James Allen, by the way, I read James Allen's tweet last week, and he's like, dude, he's like, I'm not Josh Allen's dad, but that's pretty funny, because he was kind of shitting on Josh Allen last week. I'm like, oh, it'd be funny if he was Josh Allen's dad. He's like, what's going on with Josh Allen? James Allen writes, how about a shout out to the Bills defense? Only 14 points allowed, none in the second half. The Bills defense makes me want to shout. Oh, that's a good one. Charles Burns, go Bills, writes, the Bills need more long, sustained drives, mixing up looks as well as pass run plays. Still quite predictable once the offense lines up. If a viewer can recognize it, imagine what a pro can see. Also, Josh needs to stop the hero ball toss-ups. At this point, I feel like you just kind of got to let him do it. I mean, he might have three turnovers, but then he'll have 400 total yards of offense plus, you know, three touchdowns. I mean, I don't think you're fixing that in this postseason. But then again, do you guys think, you know, you play that game against the Ravens? I don't necessarily think the Bills win this one, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's not worth speculating on what could have happened. Saxa Dave writes, just keep winning. Worrying take is that now it's supposed to start getting stressful. I like that one. Like the last 6 weeks haven't been stressful ever since they were 6-6. The Bills went from being 6-6. They were 500 on the season, and they ended up winning their division and getting the second seed. Like, can we just take a step back and realize how amazing that was? That is, I mean, this is, we went from the podcast, I remember saying this, and I don't think you guys disagreed, to be like, we might not make the playoffs. Let's go from, let's hope we make the playoffs, but not expect it, or we'll be severely disappointed, potentially, to now we're like, technically the second best team in the AFC.
Pretty sure they're going to win Super Bowl, Nate.
Okay. John, I hope you're right. I feel like I feel like the rest of our lives will be just slightly less stressed somehow.
I have to be right.
They have to be. I can only imagine. It's just like when you think about retirement in your mind and like not having to go to work every day, not having to set an alarm, not having to drive in rush hour or whatever. Like, you're like, I know that'll hopefully happen someday, but I can't think about it now because there's too many things in the way. If I start thinking about retirement now, I'll never make it, you know, the next 20, 30 years. So one thing at a time. Scott Jones writes, awesome win, but we played like doo-doo in first half. Too many mistakes, Cook dropping a touchdown pass short of the line, two interceptions in the end zone. WTF, we got to fix that. Patch writes, hot take, ugly wins equal beautiful trophy. Big R says, the Bills want to murder Bills fans how they win these games. Left so many points on the field. My hot take, we win the AFC if Rasul can play. I like that hot take. Also, I'm curious to see how the injury stacks up next week if he can even practice. But yeah, Vinny says Rap needs more time, and I don't know if that's really a hot take. I don't know. To be honest, before this I hadn't really had any really positive or really negative things to say about Taylor Rapp. I thought he was all right, but I wasn't like, this guy's the future at safety after Poyer and Hyde leave. Like, I was like, he's playing all right.
Yeah, I think like going into the season, if they didn't re-sign Poyer, I thought Rapp was a good option. And then they got both, and I was pretty happy. The only thing with Rapp is he's super aggressive and a really hard hitter. So he might draw penalties from time to time, which he has in a few games. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, maybe with another year of coaching under McDermott too, that could help with some of that. Philip Masterson writes, he kind of brings up something we mentioned earlier in the podcast. Love the attack mindset for McDermott, going for it deep in your own territory and at the end. I know they didn't get it, but credit Miami for a stop. And still, your AFC East champs. God, I love beating Miami. Yeah, there's no better feeling than beating Miami, especially if you're ever on Twitter and you just see their fans showing up in your mentions and your replies out of nowhere. Brandon Bean season 2024. Don't celebrate.
Wait, what was the previous guy's name?
Philip Masterson.
I feel like you should be the fourth or the third.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yes, yes.
Like Thurston Howell the third and Philip Masterson the fourth.
Philip Masterson the fourth.
It's a good old money name.
That is a good old money name, absolutely.
You should set up a Patreon and ask him to contribute
to content. I should ask him just to be a sponsor on the podcast, just to say his name. Philip, his handle is Philip J. Masterson. Philip J. What would that J be? That would make Philip Masterson sound even better. Philip Jacob Masterson. Oh. Philip. Philip Joseph Masterson. Joseph Masterson the third, the fourth
of Windsor.
Windsor. Philip James Masterson.
I'm gonna
Google J names that.
Yeah, Jameson.
Sounds like a lot like the whiskey. Yeah. Sounds like I'm all for that. It's my favorite name ever. Wish I could change my name from John to Jameson.
Jack?
Jarvis?
Jarvis.
Joffrey?
Joffrey. Joffrey is pretty good. Okay, Philip Masterson's. Philip Joffrey Masterson's.
Masterson. Maybe it's fourth. One, though, that's like a family last name or something. Like a... that you might think would be like a woman's first name, like a Jacqueline.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Be better if it was Kate. Like, I was thinking for some reason, like Philip Kensington Masterson or something.
Oh,
like
that's nice.
Something with a...
Just make that a J. Jensington.
Jensington. Yeah, there you go. I do like Windsor, though. John brought that up. Philip Windsor. Philip, it should be Masterson.
How could he bring up Gordon. Windsor if the only criteria was it starts with a J?
I mean, it was just like, I mean, since we're just going, yeah.
No, it was after the fact. So be like Philip Jensington Masterson the fourth of Windsor.
Of Windsor.
So it's like a title. Gotcha.
Is there a place of like Buffalo where you could say of Windsor, where it sounds like of that place? Like of East Aurora.
Of Lancaster.
Of Lancaster. Yes, yes. That sounds better than North Tonawanda or something, right? Like it's Philip Jensington Masterson, the fourth of Lancaster. He's like, actually, I live in Pennsylvania. Original Hatriot says the Bills will win more games than the Sabres in the next 5 weeks. That's funny. Andrew Freeman says if the Bills can play up to their potential, this is a special team that can make a run. That is a big if, though. It's hard to disagree with that. If they can play up to their potential, they can beat, I'd say, almost anyone in the NFL. Mike Graham, couldn't you see that? Even the Ravens. The Ravens make a couple of mistakes like the Bills did tonight, but the Bills play like an actual solid football game altogether. I think they win that game. I don't think it's like the Ravens make a couple of turnovers, the Bills don't, and the Bills definitely lose that game. I don't see that happening.
No, I think the Bills are winning the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Colby Pleasant says, why was it so hard?
if they did win the Super Bowl, we would have to buy a lot of gear, merch, shit, in case it never happens again.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, my God. I'm going to buy everything I possibly can. I'm Mike, you know how you said we should drain our accounts and like put it all on the Bills winning the Super Bowl, either drain our 401ks? Remember you said that like when the Bills were 6-6 or 7-6 or something like that? Dude, yeah. I bet after that week
for $9,000 and we would make $1.2 million. I do remember.
Yes, is that what you did? Did you bet that? Maybe
$20 worth.
Dude, ooh. That night I bet on the Bills to win the Super Bowl, the Bills to win the AFC, and the Bills to win the division that night.
As a parlay or each individually?
No, each individually. I should have done a parlay though. I don't think they let you do parlays off that stuff. It'd be too much fun. Sometimes they're like, you can't do parlays on that. But yeah.
Well, not in America.
Josh.
Nice. So it paid off big that they won the AFC.
It paid off big tonight. Yeah. Yeah.
You totally didn't acknowledge that text at the time.
No. And now I am on the air with more people to hear that. So it's not just, I was saving it. I was saving it for now. Give you credit to see if it actually freaking worked. But like to give you credit. I was like, you know what? Mike's got a point. What am I doing? I always bet on the Bills to win the Super Bowl. Why wouldn't I do it now? Just for, you know, just to put some money on it, just to say I did, you know, they don't win it. What
is that night? I was just texting like nothing. It was just going out into the ether.
Into the ether. Just
like, man.
You're like, Nate and John are real assholes. You ever get that in the group chat? Like, you just don't get any response back from. Sometimes I feel like in our group chat, we're just talking at each other a lot, like not a lot of responses. So I try to make a credit to be like, oh, yeah, good point, John. Good point, Mike. Even though you guys never fucking do it to me or anything. Never acknowledge all the memes I send or anything. But yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
So, sometimes I use our text thread as like just my notes for the game. Like I'll text stuff during the game and then I'll just like look at it while we're talking.
How about you use your notes app for that, John? Instead of just, yeah.
Well, maybe you guys might have something meaningful to respond with, which is never, but still, you know, I still have that. So,
yeah. Well, I think the same thing about all your texts that you send us. Still waiting for something meaningful.
don't try to turn it around. I just said that. You can't turn it back around.
It's all Super Bowls with the 3 Z's, 10 Z's. It's like with the Bills.
Yeah,
turn the ball over. It's like game's over. That's what I get.
Well, that's
you're like okay. Looking back at my notes. The Bills are making the Super Bowl. Then the game's over, but then they're winning the Super Bowl again. It is quite the list of notes.
I mean, just like anyone, Nate can be prone to hyperbole. In this case, that's literally the three things you said. It's either they should go for it, Super Bowl, or season's over. It's one of those three.
That always.
Don't ask John a question, by the way, because then he'll just be like, I don't know. John, what'd you think of that play? It was all right. But other than that, it's all hyperbole. Like, John's on the spectrum as a fan, not like the autistic spectrum. He's just like, there's no in between. It's just full one way or the other.
Yeah, Super Bowl.
Super Now he's Super Bowls, John. Super Bowls, John. B. Mormon 2020 writes, on one hand, this team. Mike, by the way, you never text during the game. I've been meaning to talk to you about that. It's just me and John texting out loud to the ether at each other. We're like the conversation. John and I are like the conversation during the game for the most part. Have you ever heard people that are one-uppers? Like two one-uppers get together and they start talking to each other? That is probably one of the highlights of my life of listening to conversations, is when you can get those two people in a room. Because one uppers with each other is just fantastic. It's just like, get the popcorn.
It's the greatest.
It's the greatest.
It only happens like once for me, like once a decade. But
yes,
when it happens, it's glorious.
You remember it though, right? Like it's like, oh, this is good.
For life.
So that's just like me and John. We're just like talking at each other. No one's listening. It's just, and then Mike just doesn't talk at all. He just doesn't acknowledge us. And then when he finally does, we doesn't necessarily get a response from us. He's probably just like, why the hell am I even responding? See, this is what happens.
I sent one thing in the text thread, and it was, hey, Kingsley Jonathan's name should be Jonathan Kingsley. And the one thing I said, you attributed to John. I was like, fuck it. You're like, oh, that was the greatest.
That was a good text, John. It was a good text, John. And John didn't even say, no, I didn't text that. Mike did.
He took full credit. Hey, I'm sitting right here.
I said that I think we could all agree.
In his defense, though, he's not used to you texting on the thread. So he probably thought he did do it.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt. That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, that's really funny, Mike. I even mentioned in the
podcast. Because I remember Mike saying that before, like weeks ago, and I was like, oh, yeah, I think we both said that, maybe. I don't know. Like, I think we can all agree, right?
It's just like a meme idea I have. I'm like, oh, that's a great meme idea. And sometimes I'm like, oh, that's just general, like complete creativity, not realizing that I literally just scrolled past it, like from someone else a minute beforehand, and I completely forget about it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this meme. It's like,
sounds like something, you know, I would say.
That sounds like that's creative and funny, like I would do. So yeah, real quick, this one upper discussion I was having, it was tremendous, and it got kind of sad, but it was still good because like neither of them acknowledged each other whatsoever. Like, oh yeah, you know, oh you know, they're both in their 50s, so like at the time, you know, I was in my 20s, so they're 50s, so,
yeah.
So boomers, right? Like, not that I hate on boomers, because my parents are boomers, but let's be honest, there's a difference. And they were just like, oh, yeah. Like, oh, how long have you been working here? Oh, this is, you know, my first few months. How long have you been here? Oh, 15 years. Oh, I was at my last company for 15 years, too. He's like, oh, really? He's like, oh, what'd you do there? I did this. Oh, well, I've been doing this for this long. Oh, yeah. Well, and then they started talking about diseases they had. Like, it went to that point. He's like, oh, you know, well, I had cancer. You know, he's like, oh, well, my daughter had cancer and she passed away. And instead of being like, that's so sad, she's like, oh, well, my daughter had cancer too, but she survived or something. Like, it was just like, oh, my God, what is this? What is happening in this conversation? Nobody's acknowledging anyone. And they just keep one-upping. They went from career to cancer, like to the point where they're just like, all right, bye. And it was the end of the conversation. So I wish I could have recorded it. Had I known what I know then. But Be Mormon 2020 writes, on one hand, this team just keeps winning, similar to the Huskies this year. On the other hand, it's always ugly. My hot take is that I'm not effing buying another month of Peacock, despite what the NFL scriptwriters intended. Well, we don't have to. The Bills game isn't on Peacock, is it? So we're good. Just like two games, right? Two games.
Well, if you bought it when the Bills are on Peacock the last time, it'll cover you through this next weekend. So you just can't.
That's what you did, John, right?
Yeah.
It's like $6.
Yeah, $6, and you get to watch two games for $6. I guess. I mean, it beats going to the bar and spending one drink, and then you're already in the hole. So
exactly. And I told that my wife was like, "Well, why don't we just, you know?" And luckily, we have Peacock, but she's like, "Oh, if you don't, just go to a bar and watch it." I'm like, "Not that I'm against that, and we've definitely done it before. But if you run the numbers, like even if you're buying like Netflix for a month, $18." Like you said, one or two drinks, so you're already out that money.
Yeah, you get some nachos, the gas to get there, and like, unless you're already planning on doing something like that, if that's your way of watching the game, then you may as well just do the thing for a month.
Yeah, exactly. So Bill Lasso writes, Chris Collinsworth may have a point. Allen thrives under pressure. That wasn't always the case, too. Credit to Allen. Remember, he used to fold under pressure his first few years in certain big moments, and he's just kind of taken that the other way at points, especially the second half of this season. Richard W. Griswold writes, defense stepped up despite torturous injuries. Diggs, Kincaid, huge. Shakir, huger still. Yeah, I mean, that Dalton Kincaid pick looks better and better with like each week that passes. I'm going to go down the list to some replies from, because obviously these are people that, you know, are usually in. 50 Shades of Bills and Jays writes, season couldn't have gone any worse, but we're the number two. The game couldn't have gotten any worse, and we won. Yeah, that's well put. Anakin Skywalker says, big plays at big times. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. See, again, like people wanted to get rid of McDermott midseason, and I totally got that. I'm not saying you're wrong, and I'm not saying you're right. But at the same time, it's like this team did not give up on Sean McDermott. The way that they play right now is a team that wants to win and is trying their damnedest to win. Like, even though they make mistakes and some of them are kind of dumb, I bet you we're so used to watching the Bills play. Like, if you watched the Chiefs play 18 games or 17 games a season, I guarantee there's at least a handful of plays where Andy Reid are just like, what the hell are you doing, Andy Reid? Like, but we're so myopic in the game, the team that we watch, we just don't notice it as much. All coaches make those dumb plays or dumb decisions.
Yeah, even if they miss the playoffs, McDermott's safe for another year, in my opinion.
I think with how the playoffs go this season could determine on whether his seat might be warm. Like if it's another 27-10 loss like last year's Bengals game, like that's not ideal. I mean, if they lose against the Steelers, that's obviously not ideal. But
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the first time they've had 5 years with 10 plus win seasons. And then they've, under McDermott, they've, what, 6 of the last 7 years. And they've won the AFC East 4 straight years. Like, how are you, who's considering firing the coach? Like, do you forget, like, all the coaches before that? Like, look at the Steelers. Since 1969, they've had 3 head coaches.
Yeah, that's your model. What are you going to
do, fire McDermott, get somebody that sucks? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, like, at the time, I get the sentiment they're looking for people to be angry about, and I totally get that. I was angry at times, too, but I'm just not ready to get rid of them. Like, there's too many positives.
He made a change at offensive coordinator, and that completely turned things around. even just by a little bit. It's still not ideal, but like it's way better. And I think if Joe Brady, given the chance, if he can like make his own playbook from scratch, you know, sky's the limit.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot to be excited about. Even, I mean, we were just mentioning that McDermott being aggressive on his own 35. Again, give him credit. He's doing this. He's learning. He wouldn't have done that a few months ago. Now he is.
That was the right like, play call. During the drought, they would be punting like every possession. It didn't matter where they were on the field. They would punt it 4th and 1.
Absolutely.
4th and 1 on the opposing 30, they would freaking punt it. For like they were crazy.
Yeah, I don't want to go back to that. Not that we would absolutely go right back to that, but you don't know it'll be better for sure.
And we talked about Brandon Bean before. Like, he's making good moves. He's bringing in players. And obviously not everything's hitting, but more than not, for sure.
I mean, his draft picks are really hitting, too. I mean, there's a lot of really good free agents and draft picks.
Bernard and Rasul Douglas and all these guys. Like, offensive line has been great this year. Osiris Torrance has been good as a rookie overall.
I mean, he had a rough game tonight, but...
That's why he's added overall at the end.
I mean, minus tonight. I mean, he's
overall, though, over the course of 18 games, I mean, they've been good. And knock on wood, the offensive line has been actually really healthy this year. How many times have you seen Ryan Bates play or any of the backups?
No, healthy. They've finally gotten healthy on the O-line. Yeah, there's something to be said about that for sure. Connor McGovern looks pretty good. I mean, there's a lot to like about this Bills team. So, yeah. All right, well, I'm going to leave it on that one. Well, let me see if I can find one more hot take. Jack V says, it wasn't fun, but this is a way.
That's Jack the Fifth.
Jack the Fifth. Oh, my bad. Jack V. Jack the Fifth. Jack Kennedy the Fifth. I can't think of a good Jack last name. Jack Kennedy the Fifth. It wasn't fun, but this is a way better way to enter the playoffs surging while other teams fall off. Compared to the last 2 years of expecting a Super Bowl, dominating the regular season, and then heartbreak. Love the experience we've gotten winning close ones ugly. Go Bills. That's a good one to end on. I'm glad Jack said this. Jack Vellington. So I just need to get a Kensington or something. Wellington in there somewhere. So cool. Thank you guys all for tweeting at us. We're going to do a giveaway, but our TeePublic store has been shut down for the time being. I'm in the process of trying to fix that. So, but please leave us reviews on our Circling the Wagons podcast feed.
Why did it get shut down? What'd you do?
So get this. Okay.
Swearing?
No.
War?
So we had like 250 t-shirt designs there, and so sometimes if they think it's too close to like somebody else's logo or copyright, then they take it down, right? So what they used to do is like, you know, this is too much like the likeness of Josh Allen or something like that, right? Like, and then they would say it's being taken down by the Buffalo Bills. Okay, I got it. So I'm going to tweak the design, re-upload it or whatever. In the last year or so, they would just take down designs and be like, we're just taking them down. And I'd be like, literally, this is like a generic bison. It's not the Bills logo. And it says Mafia underneath. Nobody owns this. Like, you can't take that down. Like, you don't own, like, I paid for this bison logo from the person who owns it. And then I just added the word Mafia underneath it. Like, that's not illegal. Like, there's nothing trademarked by it. So then it got to the point where I was thinking, this is what I'm thinking, is that people are reporting it to have like other stores so that it gets taken down or something. And then enough of them do it, and then it just gets taken down. Because we had one of the best stores in TeePublic. But then, you know, if you search Buffalo Bills, like there's shirts on there that have clear like Bills logos on them. And I'm like, well, how come those aren't being taken down? Like, what is this? Like, I don't get it. So I have a complaint in with the TeePublic site. I might get it reinstated this next week. But if it does, then I'll do 2 giveaways next week to make up for it, but I'm hoping that by Monday, the person that I interact with was off all this week, so I didn't get a chance. It happened on like Wednesday, so hopefully in the next couple of days it'll get picked up. But anyway, we'll figure something out, but got to work on that. So, but leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and if you do it somewhere else that doesn't like leave a username or a full out review like Spotify or anywhere else, just send us a screenshot of that and you can get into the running for it. So any final thoughts, guys, before we end this this victory, really late where we are, but victory episode, the Bills clinch the second seed in the AFC playoffs, win it a 4th division in a row. Feels good, right?
I love you guys.
Feels great.
feels amazing. I love you guys too. Thank you guys all for tuning in. Again, this episode is brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago, at the DeLago Resort and Casino. If you're in the area in the playoffs or whatever, and you feel the need to take a drive down Route 90, get off at Exit 41. The TwinSpire at DeLago Resort and Casino. The TwinSpire Sportsbook is inside. Great food, great drinks, and there's like 30 betting kiosks, or maybe even more than that. It's a great time. Tremendous time. So signing, thank you guys all for listening. Signing off for John.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills. Fuck those fish.
for Mike?
Yeah. When did we last talk? A week? Have I seen you guys for the new year?
No.
Jeez. It was a good year.
Dude.
Here's to, right? It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep. Here's to a good 2024. The two smart, funny, knowledgeable guys and John.
You're going to get yourself killed out there. I won't always be there just to have your back. John's thinking.
John hasn't invited us to. Does he still run poker nights? And I just haven't been invited. Is that gone away?
Well, you definitely won't be anymore. not anymore. Now that you said that last line.
Never have been in anyway. So figured I had nothing to lose.
Yeah, dude.
I think we what an amazing time to be a Bills fan. We talked about from Josh Allen to Bean to McDermott. Like it's awesome to go from out of it to the number two seed. Sky's the limit, man. Very exciting.
Yeah, 100%. This could be.
And to get the Steelers at home. Ah, and odds are, like, maybe the Ravens are the favorite to win the each individual game, but they're not the favorite to win every. Like, if you look at the combined odds of them getting to the AFC Championship game, the odds are they won't. So the Bills, if take care of business, they would have a home playoff game for the championship. Like, that's amazing. What a time to be a Bills fan. So I'm excited to see where we go. Love you guys. Go Bills.
And for me, Nate, I love you guys all too. Go Bills. And let's hope that 2024 is the season we all look back in our 80s and be like, remember 2024? That was the year the Bills won the Super Bowl. Go Bills. And we'll talk to you guys again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate. Well, listen, the whole show is called Circling the Wagons. Say no more. I love it.
You should buy us all the merch if they win the Super Bowl. Not shit. Not
you should
shit
buy
you
it.
Designed.
Yeah, not shit I got. I
want the official.
Not shit from
the
a
stuff
site
that they normally send to the third world if they lose. That stuff.
Yeah. I will definitely buy you guys something really nice if the Bills win a Super Bowl of like the Bills.
Multiple things.
I will maybe get one thing.
Well, they're going to win multiple Super Bowls, so.
Yes. I think nothing will be as good as the first.
The first, for sure.
Yeah. That'll be the best.